When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, welcome in. It's the Arrowhead Addict Chiefs post-game show. I'm sorry, folks, it's not a victory party today. Patrick Allen, we got the whole gang here. Adam Best, Matt Verderam, Matt Connor, Sterling Holmes. We're all going to take a deep breath. We've got feelings. We've got beer. If you haven't already drank a bottle of Clorox, we're going to try to talk you through this atrocious, atrocious Kansas City Chiefs loss. Before we get started, a little business. If you could do us a favor and hit the thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Let's get more Chiefs fans in here because there's going to be a lot of cursing. And I want to see how inventive you guys are with your curses. All right. Fellas, let's just kick it off really quickly. I want each of you to give me one word to describe today's game. We'll start with you, Adam Best.
Avoidable.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Matt Connor.
Head scratcher.
It's a hyphenated word, I guess. I'll allow it. Sterling Holmes.
Ass.
And I know you're really upset that you couldn't put two scoops in there. Next time I'll do three
scoops. That three was a words. Three scooper.
And Matt Verderam.
Embarrassing.
I agree with that. Very good one. I will go ahead and just say it. Disaster. We're going to get into it. Let us know what you think. What's your one word to describe what just happened to the Kansas City Chiefs? Before we get to that, though, this podcast is, thank God, brought to you by the Kansas City Beer Company. I'm pounding a Pils Light right now, which my guy Sterling Holmes turned me on to. He said it's great out on the golf course. I agree. I can't golf, but I can drink after Chiefs games. It's fantastic. They're our friends. They're at KC Beer Co. on Twitter. Give them a shout. They're the biggest independent brewery in Kansas City. They focus on German beer styles. They're fantastic. I know I saw them on Twitter. They were going through it just like we were today. But do us a favor. Give them a shout right now. Just right now. Just do us a favor. You're watching the show. It's free. At KC Beer Co. on Twitter. Let them know you heard about their beer on our podcast and dare to beer different. Speaking of different, this is a different feeling that we're having right now as Chiefs fans following that absolute debacle that happened with the Colts. So let's just get right into it. And I know what everyone is waiting for, which is Matt Verderam's take on this. So let's just kick off our first segment, the Verderant. Matt, this stage is yours.
Awesome. All right, you guys want the good news or the bad news first?
Let's do the bad news.
Okay. The bad news is this is not a fluke offensively. Because for 2 weeks in a row now, they've looked like dog shit. And they look like that because they're not blocking. But part of the reason that they're not blocking is because they're not running the ball. Okay? They're not running the ball at all with any kind of success. Take Mahomes out of the game, who, by the way, led the team in rushing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 7 carries today for 0 yards. Somehow with a touchdown, but for 0 yards. Isaiah Pacheco, who everybody had as Walter Payton in the offseason, had 3 carries for 9 yards. And Jerick McKinnon had 7 carries for 20 yards. Okay? All told, That's 19 carries. It were not by Mahomes. Burton also had one. So did Kelsey. All right. If your offensive line is struggling in the game, you then need to find a way to make life easier on them. And this is where I get into the coaching of this game. Okay. You're not getting blitzed. The Chargers blitzed you last week. So by that, by happenstance, you have to go to some hot reads and whatnot. They kind of can dictate what you're going to do. The Colts are not dictating anything in this game. If you watch Jacksonville last week whip the Colts up and down the field for four quarters, then you know that short passes underneath are going to be open. The screen game is going to be open. And to me, the most enlightening play of that game happened on the first drive of the third quarter. The Chiefs are up 14-10, despite how badly they were playing. They have the ball. Okay. I believe it was second and five, something like that. Okay. So the Chiefs come out. In fact, I'll pull it up right now in front of me. So they have a 2nd and 4 throw on 37, and they throw a screen to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he picks up 16 yards, gets over midfield, first down, they're moving. And guess what? They never ran a single screen the rest of the game. Not a bubble screen, not a screen to a back. The Colts had nobody other than one guy there to defend that play. And they played the same way the whole game, and the Chiefs refused to take free yards in front of them. And to me, at some point, that is on the coach. Like, you need, I don't care. And people say Bieniemy, look, fuck that. Reed runs the offense. Reed is the epicenter of what they do offensively. Okay. EB has a hand in it. He does not have control of that offense. Andy Reid does. Okay. And everybody in that building knows it. And that, by the way, that includes Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid runs that offense. How do you go into a game where your pass rush or the opposing pass rush is creating a little bit of a problem in the game, and all you do is 5 and 7 step drops and the ball is just down the field? Take an 8-yard completion occasionally. Throw a ball into the flat. Where's Clyde on an angle route? Where's Fortson ever when they're not at the 2-yard line? By the way, Justin Watson, he passed away. Is he allowed to play an offensive snap of football? Where is Sky Moore on offense? Like, we'll get to him on special teams. Where is he on offense? Because for all their failings today, I thought the biggest one outside of the special teams, which is next on the list here, was their coaching. Their coaching was atrocious. And now I'll marry the two of them. Why the hell are you running a fake field goal with Tommy Townsend throwing a ball to Noah Gray that if Noah Gray caught, he would have been dropped 10 yards before he hit the first down marker? If you're going to go for it, keep your fucking quarterback on the field. You have Patrick Mahomes. Enough of this crap where they've always got to be cute and it's always got to be a magic show. They've always got to outsmart these. Do you think, if you asked the Colts, what would you rather see on 4th and 7? Tommy Townsend rolling left or Patrick Mahomes? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And by the way, if they're that uncomfortable with Matt Amendola kicking a short field goal, why is he the backup kicker? Why is he even on the field? Why is someone else not the kicker? I mean, if you're that unnerved by him missing an extra point to start the game, why is he the kicker on this team right now? You've got a million options. And by the way, Amendola was the worst kicker in football last season. He didn't hit 70% of his kicks. Okay. So they knew coming into this that he can't kick. He was good in the Chargers game. Fair is fair. But then the coaching again, by the way, the special teams, we can crush Sky Moore all we want. That's fine. We have seen this out of every returner under the Chiefs with Dave Tobe. And I like Tobe a lot, but how many times do they field punts inside the 10-yard line? They do it all the time. It is lazy. It is not coached properly. Every team in the league tells guys, you stick your heels on the 10-yard line and don't you dare take a step back. And the Chiefs do this all the time. Then he muffs a punt. Then, by the way, Pacheco runs a kickoff out of his own end zone, stumbles over his own 2 feet, fumbles, picks it up, and gets thrown down the 11-yard line. Like, that may seem like a small thing. That's 14 yards in a game where you can't move the ball. So it's special teams, it's offense. Mahomes was not good today either. Okay, he missed throws. Even the big one to Smith-Schuster was behind him. It was a great catch by Smith-Schuster. Kelsey dropped the touchdown. He missed a wide-open touchdown to MVS the first drive of the game. That should have been 6. At bare minimum, it should have been a 40 or 50-yard play. So for me, all that was garbage. It's correctable, but it's all garbage. And they're going to play a Tampa team next week. And if the Chiefs don't correct this, they're going to score 3 points. The good news is the defense looks great. That is the good news of this game. And that sounds like a little bit of like a addendum on the end of this. Like, it doesn't matter because the rest of it sucked. I don't feel that way at all. Their offense, as much as it stinks right now, I think we'll figure it out. It may take them a month, but they'll figure this out. They're too talented not to figure this out. Both the line, the quarterback, all of it. The defense is kicking everybody's ass right now which I do think is much more important here as we go down the stretch of the year. I mean, you look at the box score of this game, it's impossible to figure out how the Chiefs lost looking at it from the defensive side of the ball. Jonathan Taylor, 21 carries for 71 yards. The Colts had 3.8 yards per play. They were 6 of 15 on third down. I mean, the Chiefs did, they forced a turnover. They essentially set up both touchdowns on defense, right? The turnover and the turnover on downs. Kansas City did everything on defense except for one penalty that killed him at the end of the game. But for everybody who wants to blame Chris Jones, look, fine. You want to kill him for that, kill him. It's a horrible penalty to take. Their defense was the only reason they were even in that game all afternoon. And they were let down by the rest of that crap show on the sideline, on teams, and on offense.
And we're going to talk about the defense. Fantastic, Verderant. I know that that was all building up in you since the probably about halftime. So I'm glad you were able to get it all out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're going to get to – I want to hear from Adam. I want to hear from Matt Connor, but I promised I had this idea. We knew we were going to have the Verderant. We knew it wasn't going to be pretty. We've got Sterling Holmes, our eternal optimist. He's rocking the Arrowhead Addict podcast, Adidas golf hat, which you can get in our store. He's got the – and I'm so – like, listen, guys, I'm really proud. Verderant, and then this segment is called the Sterling Silver Lining. Give it to us, buddy.
First off, I'm not an eternal optimist, but I am a realist. And you're about to hear the voice of reason for a dude drinking martinis out of a pint glass, so buckle up. Aren't you glad it's now instead of later in the season? The Chiefs do this one to two times every single season. They lose to a team they should not lose to. For some reason, it's the AFC South. It's always a team that gets them. The Colts, the Titans, it happens. If you actually saw what I did in the preseason, I had the Chiefs losing to the Colts. And this is why. They struggle against the AFC South. Get it done now. Get that horrible loss out of the way early on. And by the way, it's a backup kicker. That's the reason the Chiefs lost. If Bucker's in the game, that's 7 points. They don't miss an extra point. They don't miss that field goal. Bucker, they trust to kick a 42-yarder instead of having Tommy Townsend roll out and try and throw a bomb. There's 7 points. The reason why the Colts scored that first touchdown, Sky Moore. Yeah, it happened. I'm with you. It was a horrendous decision. How often does that happen going forward? Okay? Doesn't happen very often. By the way, how often does Travis Kelce drop wide open balls in the end zone? How often? Is Travis Kelce typically stone hands? No. Does Mahomes typically overthrow receivers every single game like MVS? Mahomes was bad. There's no skating around this. He was not good. Was he the main issue? You can make a case for it. But how often does he play this poorly? Or Leonard Brown Jr. was a turnstile. That guy was horrendous. If you want a silver lining there, you're not getting that from me. That was the worst game of his career. If you want to be paid like a top left tackle in football, this is not the performance you go about doing. You were not good against the Chargers, against top competition. You made Ngakoue, who's been on what, fourth team now, who's like 33, look like a, you know, all pro player. Sorry, there's no silver lining for Orlando Brown Jr. But from the end of the day, Eric Bieniemy take right there, this is what happened. The superstars for the Chiefs let them down. It wasn't just special teams. It was the superstars. How often in a season does that happen? I'm not trying to be a Chargers fan right now, trying to find a silver lining in a loss. That's stupid. The Chiefs lost. They're 2-1, right? They lost a game they should have won. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, yeah, we can take some positives from this. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to feed you bullshit. What I'm trying to do is this is a long season. If you thought the Chiefs were going undefeated, you are wrong. This is not going to happen. This happens in a given year. A team who was supposed to win chokes, plays a bad game. The Bills lost to Miami. Tampa Bay scored 12 points. Bad. Fucking the Chargers got steamrolled by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay? This happens. Am I pissed? Yes. Am I going to say the Chiefs are doomed? No. Verderim, you yourself, just a few days ago, said the Chiefs and Bills are the top two teams by far in the NFL. I agreed with you. This one game should not change that viewpoint.
It doesn't, okay? Long term, it doesn't, because I think they're very good defensively, and I do think they'll figure this out on offense. But I got to be honest. Like, I do disagree with one portion of this. You're right. Like, nobody expects them to go 17-0, and if you do, you're delusional. That's a horrible fucking loss. And if you win that game, and I know you're not saying it's not. Like, I'm not saying it. But what I'm saying is there are games that you lose and, like, you can go, all right, you know what, that team's really good. We didn't play particularly, whatever. The Colts are a disaster. The Colts are every bit as bad as we thought they were.
Didn't you have them winning the AFC South to start the season?
Yes, 100%.
Well, I did too, right?
But
what did they start last year? What did they start last year?
They were like 1-4 or something.
They were 1-4, 0-3 or something.
Again, that's irrelevant. They suck. We're wrong about them. By the way, they're not winning that division. Jacksonville's going to steamroll their ass twice.
Agreed.
Okay?
Agreed.
But Indianapolis, they're not good. Indianapolis sucks. Like, that game had nothing to do about the Colts to me. That game was lost because the Chiefs couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag for four quarters.
Okay? Correct. But how often does that happen, Verderam?
Not often. You and I are on the same page long term. They're going to be fine long term. But that's a horrible loss that could have implications down the road. Now, it's also got to be said before we get too far down the road here, okay? They are also very fortunate today. The Raiders lost again. The Chargers look atrocious. Bose is now hurt. Slater just left the locker room in a sling, okay, with a biceps injury. They got roundhouse by Jacksonville. Herbert did not look like Herbert. So you got all that going. Denver plays tonight. We'll see what happens. The Bills lost. The Bengals are 1-2. If there's any silver lining saving grace out of all this, it's that the Chiefs were bailed out by the rest of this division that all of us, let's be honest, thought was going to be a great division. This is not a great division. The Raiders stink. The Chargers look like the Chargers from every year of the last 10 years. And the Broncos have a coach who I'm pretty sure could be outcoached by a 10-year-old on Madden. So the Chiefs, not all is lost. I don't want to paint it like that. But the one thing that concerns me going forward is how many times have we seen games like this out of the coaching staff? Like, what is the identity of this offense? What are you doing? What are you doing? It feels like there's no plan. It's just like, I don't know, 2nd and 8, I'd run a deep over. 3rd and 7, I don't know. Maybe we run a play short of the sticks and hope the guy reaches for it. Like, you've got to have a plan. And it feels like they have the same plan they've had all these years where it's just like Mahomes is going to take a 5 to 7 step drop and be Houdini and just make a play. You don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. You don't have healthy Sammy Watkins. You need to play differently. You cannot play like this. You will get killed. And they played a team today that, let's be honest, they should have boat raced. They should have beat that team by 20 points today, but they didn't do it because they couldn't execute. And that and the special teams, look, they basically were taking the Colts on the money line this afternoon. But at some point, you've got to execute on offense. They couldn't do it.
Well, to be fair, one, if the Chargers had played this game, they would be painting a mural of that Juju Smith-Schuster catch and run,
well, right?
Under a bridge somewhere. And there's no such thing as a healthy Sammy Watkins. All right, let's hear from the other guys on the panel. Adam Best, what's wrong with this offense?
Well, I think the offensive line, which was mentioned, Orlando Brown got beat on numerous occasions by Yannick Ngakoue. I think Trey Smith had some rough moments. Andrew Wiley, we all know what he is. Tooney and Creed were solid, but as a pass-blocking unit, the offensive line is leaving a lot to be desired. And today, they didn't run block very well either. Nate Tice from The Athletic pointed this out, that McKinnon, Pacheco, and CEH combined for 17 rushes. They generated one first down between all those rushes. Just could not get the running game going. But I think the real problem might be these receivers can't separate. They can't get open. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Mecole Hardman just does not understand the nuances of the receiver position. I'll get to more on that later. But MVS didn't look particularly good. Maybe things would be different if Mahomes nails him on that deep ball where it looked like he had a step. Even on Juju's completion, the big 50-yard completion against Stephon Gilmore, he wasn't really open. You know, that was just kind of something that got sidearmed in there, and Juju made a good play and Gilmore fell down. But that's what it looks like to me. It looks like the offense now, also the play calling has been rocky. And Verderam is astute to point that out. So when you have an offensive line that is underperforming, a receiving core that isn't pulling its weight, isn't getting open, I have no clue why Sky Moore with his release moves and his ability to separate and get open isn't on the field. You know, but we know Mecole Hardman, if there's one thing he can do is return punts. Why not have him return punts and have Sky Moore running some routes? He couldn't do any worse. He couldn't do any worse than one reception for 2 yards, which is what McColl did today.
He did have a bum heel in this game. We don't know the extent of that. He was limping after that sweep, but
he hasn't had a bum heel for 4 years.
Has a bum heel? Then why the fuck is he playing?
Right.
You have
right.
a million other receivers.
Yeah.
Like, this goes back again. I swear I could do an hour of this. This goes back to a coaching issue. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like, it's impossible to coach this team as poorly as they do sometimes. You have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and say, look, we can kill the offensive line all we want. How many teams would trade their offensive line for the talent on the Chiefs' offensive line? 28, 29, 30? I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, how can you not coach the offense better than this? No screens, no quick game. How many times did the Chiefs run a pass pattern that was the number one read in the play where it was designed to go between 7 and 10 yards? I count on one hand. They never do it. I swear this will be the most controversial take I ever had about them, and I've had it before, and I still have it because I firmly believe this. I think there are times with their offensive coaching staff that if it's not fun, they don't want to do it. Even if they know, like, it'll succeed and it'll work and we can go underneath and it's gains of 7 and it's gains of 9, they don't want to do it. Because it's not a magic show. It's not just bells and whistles and fireworks going off. And I do think Mahomes is guilty of that at times as well. Like, take the yardage. Move the ball. You know, that drive to start the third quarter, I will firmly say, if they score a touchdown there, they win the game. The Colts were deader than hell. It took half the quarter off the clock. The Chiefs are down there. I want to make sure I'm right with this. I want to see where they had the first and goal, because I believe they were down there pretty easily. So the Chiefs had first and goal at the 3-yard line. Now, I don't have a problem with the play calling down here, okay? This is when they run with McKinnon up the gut. He gets up at the 1.5. Pacheco has no gain. And then they throw to Kelce, which, by the way, I'm not a big, like, complaint about the officiating. That should have been pass interference on Kenny Moore. Now, I think the reason it wasn't called is Kelce basically looked like he was in a coma and didn't try to fight through it. If he tries to fight through it, I think there's about 3 flags on the field. Still should have been a penalty. They kick the field goal. Then they hold them to a field goal. And then this is, to me, where the game flips. The Chiefs get the ball. They drive right back down the field. Okay? They're moving. This is actually, they finally get some rhythm. They get a pass to 20 to Kelce. Get him over midfield. Or actually, excuse me, they get to the 38-yard line. Then they go over midfield with a pass to Noah Gray for 26 yards. Then they get to MVS for 9. Now you're sitting there. It's first and 10 at the Colts' 23-yard line. Starts fourth quarter. You're up 17-13. You, at minimum right now, at that position, if you don't take a penalty, which they didn't, okay, or you turn the ball over, this should at minimum be 3 points. I don't give a shit who your kicker is. This should be 3 points. The Chiefs then proceed, lose one on a carry to McKinnon. Okay, fine. Mahomes throws an incomplete pass to the right. I believe that was the one where the third down play was the one to Watson, where Watson dove, couldn't come up with it. Okay, Mahomes is being grabbed by the ankle. And then that's on 4th and 11 on a 41-yard attempt where they fake a field goal and have no chance of picking it up. And by the way, that's the drive that was started by Isaiah Pacheco fumbling the ball and falling on his own 11-yard line. If he doesn't do that, logic dictates it would have been 11 yards closer and it would have been a 31-yard field goal. But it wasn't. They could not have been worse in this game. But to me, it's the offensive execution and it's the way they're managing this offense. And then you can get into special teams, which is a disaster all day. But even with it, if the offense does anything, they win.
I want to hear from Matt Connor here, who has patiently waited his turn. The editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Addict, who, if you want to know what Matt Connor thinks, listen to this podcast, check out the Tuesday show. But of course, make sure you're reading arrowheadaddict.com every day. Matt, what's going on over at the website? What are your thoughts on this game?
Hey, look, I think you all are missing like serious points in the middle. You know, I not giving credit to the Colts for being like, I think all of you have like, I think a lot of people have taken like an Etch-a-Sketch after the Colts' first two games, shook it like Chris Ballard doesn't have a deep roster there, like, or that the Colts don't know what's going on. And then, you know, like they're supposed to be some 0-16 team. I think the Colts deserve a little bit of credit here. Kwity Paye is a good pass rusher. Ngakoue, who Holmes said can't get a sack and is like in his 30s, is actually 27 and had 10 sacks last year. DeForest Buckner is a menace in the middle. That defensive line won in the trenches against the Chiefs. That's what happened. So I'm not saying that the Colts didn't lay an egg. This game was clearly a better team against an inferior one, and we saw the gaffes and miscues like be the difference, right? At the same time, though, you know, the Colts have been void of pass catchers. But they had their top two draft picks, Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati, Jelani Woods, tight end today, caught two touchdowns. Chris Ballard drafted these two guys to go with Michael Pittman. They're all healthy for the very first time this year, and they actually made some of the offensive difference when they started to get going. It took the Colts forever to get going, but opportunity knocked, and they answered to their credit on their last drive. They deserve credit for that last drive. So I don't just want to say, hey, we should have steamrolled the Colts by whatever. They deserve no credit. They're no talent. The Colts have more talent, and they showed up here. I just think at the same time, I agree with so much of what's been said. I think the coaching calls are abysmal. I think the special teams gaffes are all that. Like, I just don't want to say Matt Ryan is old and ancient and ruined and the Colts are too one-dimensional. Our defense put a clinic on today, and I was proud of them in the face of no McDuffie, who's your best corner, and no Gay, who's your most well-rounded linebacker, and Mike Dana. So, like, I think that's great. I just think the Colts deserve more credit than what they've been given, at least today. They were opportunistic at the moments they had to. At the same time, the other thing I just want to say, I got to go to Matt Amendola here. Not since the Chiefs had Scott Pioli and Todd Haley have I seen a disconnect between a GM wanting certain players on the roster, like a quarterback, and then Todd Haley playing Tyler Palco, saying, I'm not going to play your guy, or whatever was going on back in those days. To, like, if you have a guy on the roster and you don't trust him, why is he on the roster? This game, from the sideline argument between Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes to the front office versus coaching staff's like usage of Matt Amendola or not trusting him, there is some serious distrust or something happening between the guys they're bringing in on the roster, and they're not using them, or they're not using them in the ways that Mahomes wants to see at the end of the game and going for it. Like, there's some disharmony here in leadership for the first time that I think is really kind of boiling up. And, you know, that piece, was it in The Athletic or something, came out last year about, you know, maybe there's something there with Bieniemy, whatever. I don't know what's boiling up here, but I think there's something going on in the water in terms of some sort of leadership, whatever. I don't know what to make of it. I'm not privy to even talk about it. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
I think that's all well said. I have one counterpoint. The Colts suck. That team's winning like five games. They have nobody on that team, man. Like, that team is not – I'm sorry. That team's not good. Like,
They're better than five games, Verderam. They're better than five.
No, they're not.
Just having a decent coach gets them five.
Oh, my God, man. The only maybe I'll go a little higher is at division. That team's not good. That team. Now, I agree with all your other points. So, like, I do think, look, the Chiefs, the Amendola thing, if he's on the roster, then you need to let him kick normal field goals. And if he's not, and if you don't believe in him to do that, what are we doing? Like, yeah. Then why is he on the roster?
It's like, if he's got a range issue, like, okay, he can't hit from 45 plus, fine, right?
But he can't hit from in the 40s. What are you right. even doing on an NFL?
If you trust Justin Reed more than Amendola, there you go. There's your answer.
Well, if they did, he should have been kicking.
I agree.
When they needed points.
They should have.
Instead of, right. Wait, look, we got a couple quick super chats to get to. Our guy, TBT Football, Chiefs Football, says, coaching was off, have to be better in Tampa. You ain't kidding, man. Our guy, Clint McKenzie, appreciate you, man. Very generous. Cheer up, y'all. We were never going to have an undefeated season anyway. As Sterling said, the defense is surprisingly good and the offense will find its way eventually. Lots more victories to come. Adam Best, will this offense find its way? Because I've got some concerns, because a lot of the problems that we saw today were what they were supposed to be spending the offseason fixing. And yet here we are again with Mahomes dropping back, running around like a chicken with his head cut off and not taking what's there. What do you think?
I think it takes time to develop chemistry. So if you think about everyone besides McCole, who is a glorified gadget player, in my opinion, you have Watson's new, MVS, Juju, Sky Moore, who, again, for some reason can't see the field. But I think it's going to take some time to develop a rapport for these guys. We've seen numerous times missing MVS on deep balls dating back to the preseason. So on one hand, it's like, yeah, to develop that kind of chemistry with your receivers, it takes time. This is why Aaron Rodgers notoriously hates playing with new receivers. On the other hand, the run game just looked hopeless today. And Orlando Brown, his struggles are very troubling. You know, you start thinking ahead to, are we going to have to let this guy go after trading a top draft pick for him and draft a tackle because he just looked in over his head today.
Sunk cost.
And well, we were really counting on this offensive line being dominant. If we're going to take a step back in terms of receivers, losing Tyreek, the kind of calculus there was the offensive line needs to be, maybe Philadelphia is the best offensive line in the league, but this offensive line needs to be a top four or five unit. And at times it's looked like one, but today it did not look like one. So they're going to have to play better. The receivers are going to have to get open and get on the same page with Mahomes. And I do agree on the screens. Like, why is Mecole Hardman out there if you're not going to throw screens to him? I mean, that's about all he's good at, right? So I think they're going to have to take some easy wins in this offense and stop looking for the big play. I think they kind of reverted back. And when I say they, I'm talking about Andy Reid, Bieniemy, and Mahomes. I don't know if it's the fun thing, but it's like they don't want to do anything easy. They don't want to just hit that Staples easy button. You know, just take it. Just take it. Just take the 6-yard pickup. It's
they
not
did it
sexy.
Against the Cardinals. I
they
don't
did.
Understand. Like that.
But that happened last season too. They have discipline for a while and they get bored. They lose focus and they kind of revert back to those old tendencies that have gotten them in trouble. And I think they have to stop doing that.
Let me ask you guys a question, because I wonder sometimes if we slide into too much groupthink. Obviously, the Chiefs' offensive line is talented. We know how good Creed is. You see it on the tape, Trey Smith. But at what point, I mean, we're sitting here and we're like, oh, you know, the offensive line is so good. We say it every week. Oh, they're so good. And yet every week we're sitting here and we're like, well, there were some pass protection issues. Oh, well, you know, if they just run the ball. Well, they ran the ball 23 times today and they got jack shit for it. So at what point do we start having the conversation, is this line a little bit overrated? Because they're not doing it on the field. Do you want to blame the running backs? Do you want to blame the line, the play calling? They ran the ball 23 times. They averaged 2.5 yards a carry.
All right, hold on. But that's also, like, it's misleading for this reason. Okay, Mahomes ran the ball 4 of those times. So now you're down to 19 times. Burton ran it once. Kelsey ran it once. Your running backs ran the ball 17 times, and they did nothing. Okay, they went for 29 yards. I don't have a problem with saying, look, their running game's not going to be here. To me, sometimes the stats, I don't want to say they lie, although occasionally they do, but in this case, I don't think they do. But they can be a little misleading. Part of the reason that the Chiefs have this issue of running the ball is they're incredibly predictable. The Chiefs come out and they run the same type of game plan all the time. Like, if you're a team playing the Chiefs, do you have any fear of them trying to come out and establish a running game ever? Of course not. And I think part of that is, look, you have Mahomes, and that's fine. I understand you want to throw the ball a lot. But at the same point, you do need to have some concept of, if we're going to try and be a balanced team or a more balanced team than we've been, you need to be able to come up with an identity running the football and stick to it, whether those are stretch zone plays, okay, whether those are gap schemes, whether that's, you know, between the tackles, whatever you want it to be. You need to have an identity. I think the Chiefs run the ball best when they have guys in motion and they can get teams moving around a little bit before the snap, and then they hit those cutback lanes because they're good at it. Okay? But they don't do that a lot. They don't do that enough. So these, you know, so if you run 4 plays like that and gain 30 yards, who cares? Like, it's not going to matter, right? Like, in the end, like, it's not enough of an identity. You watch that Jacksonville and Chargers game, okay? The Chargers were without Bosa, it should be noted. Jacksonville took that ball and ran it right down their throat. They lined up. They just went off tackle over and over and over. And then, look, that is the best thing, by the way, about Belichick throughout his whole career. Belichick finds the one thing you don't do well and relentlessly goes after it. And in a game like today, even though this isn't about the run game, what are the Colts not good at defensively? Somebody earlier in the chat said, well, name a player that's not good on the Colts defense. I don't think you can. First of all, yes, I can. Second of all, okay, the Colts, earlier I was like, they suck. The name other than Leonard who didn't play today. Okay, so we're putting him aside. Who are the guys on that team who you'd be like, that guy's a Pro Bowler?
Buckner.
Excellent player. Buckner and Quentin Nelson. That's it. When you have 2 Pro Bowlers in the NFL, your roster, it sucks. Like, I'm sorry. That's not a good roster. It's not Houston, because they don't have, like, I will say this for the Colts, they have a bunch of guys who are like solid type players, but that's not an overwhelming roster. And
what about Gilmore?
Stephon
Gilmore.
Maybe at this point, you want to throw him in there, I'll hear it. But my point is, like, look, when you've got tape of the first 2 weeks of Houston and Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville is very much improved, but they're a lesser offense in Kansas City, okay? And you've got all this tape that they will give up 5 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards a pass. and every play feels like it's designed to go 20 yards down the field, that's horrible coaching. That's horrible execution, where Mahomes, frankly, had a lot of times where he had nowhere to go with the ball. And he's running around trying to extend plays because they can't get separation, as Adam pointed out. Like, this is a problem. But this is a problem they should have seen coming. You knew this. You built a team that you knew was going to be a little bit bigger. We spent all season talking about this. This is a bigger group. Fortson, Gray, Juju, NBA. Like, this is a team that is built to give more body blows and play that way. And then occasionally hit them over the top. And the Chiefs are playing like this is the 2018 offense. They don't have those guys anymore. They're not built to win that way. Look, I thought Mahomes needed to be better. The special teams were an atrocity. We could spend the whole show talking about them. But to me, your special teams right now comes down to two rookie returners and a kicker who has no business being in the league. Like, your offense needs to pick up the slack and not put them in positions where they're kicking a bunch of field goals against a team like Indianapolis. And I thought today their execution of that on the sideline and on the field was an abomination.
I do have to say to you, Verderam, real quick, Sterling, on the Chiefs running the ball, you said it was a little misleading because Mahomes ran for four times. Granted, it was misleading on the number of carries they had because he ran for four times. But you take away Mahomes and his rushing yards.
Well, it's worse.
26. The Chiefs averaged 1.6 yards per carry, 1.7 if you want to be generous and round up. That's horrendous.
Oh, it's awful.
Absolutely horrendous.
Do you think, and I'll throw this to the floor for you guys, don't get out of the way. Do you guys think that they can't run the ball because they literally can't run the ball, or because they make no attempt to actually run the ball consistently?
It's when they try and run the ball, they run the exact same play and everyone knows it's coming. That's what it comes down to. And that's what I was going to say is every single second and 10, I automatically go, here's a fucking run up the middle. Every single time, without fail. Second and 10, it's an automatic halfback dive. Why? Everyone knows it's coming. It's just so predictable when they do run. Even if it's only 15 times a game, you know when those 15 times are and when they line up. And that's what makes it so frustrating. You mentioned it. Get them in motion. Do some creativity. Some cutbacks. You have guys who can do it. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a fine running back. You know, I think he has decent vision, even if his burst isn't, you know, fantastic. But Jerick McKinnon, he shows some speed. Use them in different ways. Every single running back is built a little different. They excel in certain situations and certain scenarios. Use them and put them in the best spot possible. And that's what I feel like the Chiefs sometimes don't do with play calling. They just go, yeah, he's a running back. Throw him back there. Let's do a halfback dive with Jerick McKinnon on second and 10. It makes zero sense.
Why aren't we even talking about the short yardage issues, right? I mean, even in week one, Clyde had two receiving touchdowns at the goal line. Then we get to this game. We got first and goal. Can't get it in. We're like what's going on with, why is Ronald Jones inactive weeks 1, 2, and 3 when we can't punch it in weeks 1 and 2? Like, how many weeks is that going to take before we see Jones at least trying something different with the mix up there and to at least be able to punch it in? I mean, it's crazy to me how easily we're stuffed at the line when it's like Creed is a Pro Bowler in waiting. Joe Tooney's one of the, you know, most well-paid guards in the game. You know, Trey Smith is the mauler. And it's like, man, we can't even maul forward 1 yard. Are you kidding me? I don't even know what's going on there.
Yeah. And is that the running back? Is it the line? Like, I wanted to ask you guys, Adam, do the Chiefs need to pick a fucking running back? I mean, you look at the distribution in this game. Jerick McKinnon gets 7 carries for 20 yards. Clyde gets 7 carries. Then they get Pacheco in there. He gets 3. Now, I do think there is something to a running back starting to get into a rhythm. I mean, you get out there and you see what you see how the holes are opening up. You see how the blocking is going. You get used to the speed of the game. These guys they get out there, they get a carry, they get hit, you know, 1 yard past the line of scrimmage, and they don't get a carry again for 2 quarters. What do you think?
Yeah, they've got one too many cooks in the kitchen, I think. You see a lot of, across the league, a lot of effective two-man platoons. When you get to 3 or 4 guys, it doesn't seem to work as well. I think, you know, running backs have to kind of develop a feel for the game, get in a rhythm, like you pointed out, and that's not happening. But I do think some of it comes down to talent. We have a long track record of CEH not blowing anybody's hair back. We've got a pretty good track record of Jerick McKinnon having a lot of athletic promise, but never delivering as a, you know, stud runner or anything like that. And Pacheco, for all his athletic measurables and hype, struggled most of his college career at Rutgers. So it could just be a talent problem. If we think this offensive line is good, if we think this offensive coaching staff has a strong track record over the years, which they do, I think they have some weak spots for sure. But I agree with Matt. I would like to see Ronald Jones. I think on those short yarded situations, he has the kind of physical running style that could help alleviate some of these problems. And also, he has pretty good long speed. So I think that could be one potential problem, I mean, solution to this problem.
He does run straight ahead. We got another super chat from our guy, Daniel.
Just don't ask him to catch or block.
Yeah. Our guy Daniel says, at the beginning of the season, we won't know who will be the go-to guy each week in this offense. The Chiefs don't know either. I think that's a great – and that comment came a little while ago, but that fits into the conversation we were just having. Yeah, look, I think it's great. Spread the ball around on offense. You know, keep teams guessing, all of those things. But at the end of the day, you need somebody that you can go to. And right now the Chiefs have one guy on the offense that Mahomes knows he can go to with the ball, and he'll make a play, and that's Travis Kelce. And in this game, obviously that didn't work out. Flapjack City says, appreciate you, man. Can we start using timeouts to leave Mahomes time on the clock? We just let the Colts run out the clock. I was wondering about that. How do you guys feel about that? Because as I was sitting there, I was like, well, you know, they've got to get a touchdown. You're winning the game. So should you be calling timeouts to preserve time?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that out. Yeah. When there was a minute left and the clock was running, my parents are in town. My dad was sitting there watching the game with me. We were both just screaming at the television, like, what are you doing? Why are you? But he's him. He is him. Andy Reid, if there's one thing he's good for, it is absolute just butchering of the timeout situation in a game-in, game-out basis. Like, he just – both Super Bowls were just a masterclass in how not to manage the clock. Did it in both of them. Like, he just – he doesn't understand it. Never has, never will. Like, he's Belichick with that stuff compared to Nathaniel Hackett. But –
What about the end of the first half? I mean, that was a disaster. You have the best player on the planet. You're basically just going to, you know, run the ball and run down the clock and leave an opportunity.
That's what the argument was about, right? Between Mahomes and Bieniemy. Bieniemy's like, let's go to the locker room. Mahomes like, let's try to fucking score.
I understand it a little bit more there, only because they were such a train wreck in the first half. Maybe the mindset's like, look, man, just get to halftime. We're winning. We're getting the ball. I also can see why Mahomes is pissed. Like, I kind of get both sides of that one. But defensively, like, you have a minute left. Yeah, as somebody just said in the chat here, Jeremy said, like, who was it? Somebody said it just now in the chat that the defense was gassed at the end of the game. Like, call timeout. Do anything to help out your team. And the one thing, look, I'm not going to kill him for, because I actually did blitz once on first and 20 and they got beat by it. I'm not getting on Spagnuolo. I thought he called a great game. The latter half of that game, that last drive, I would have blitzed them I would have blitzed nine guys if I could have done it. Like, now, that being said, I'm not criticizing him. Okay, Spags called a good game. He is not part of the reason they lost that game. In fact, if anything, he was probably the best person on the sideline or the field in this game.
Agreed.
I think they will be fine. But offensively, they've got to figure out what their identity is and go with it. Like, whatever that is, be that. Stop dicking around with all these, like, well, you know, maybe we'll try to go with the long game. Oh, no, you know, now we're going to try to run with three different running backs on four plays. Now, look, what are you? That, like, I go back to them because they're the most successful team I've ever seen. The Patriots, for a few years with Moss, they would throw deep balls. That team, how often did Brady air it out when he didn't have Randy Moss? Never. That team was a seam-throwing team with Gronkowski. They would get all kinds of mismatches in the slot with Edelman, and they just beat you to death with it over and over and over. Like, that's what they did. You knew what was coming, but they were great at it. You couldn't stop it. The Chiefs should emulate that. Look, you have Kelce. He'll beat you on any route you want to be a guy with. You have all these backs who, look, I don't think can run for crap, but can catch the ball. Use them. Throw the ball to them. Go to two back sets. Let them both swing out. Let teams try to stop you. Force their linebackers out in the coverage. Help your offensive line, because now teams can't bring a whole bunch of games and they can't blitz. Like, force, you know, let Juju Smith-Schuster eat on these intermediate routes. That's where he's best. Let Marquez Valdes-Scantling run an 8-yard slant. He's 6'4" for crying out loud. Throw it to him. Like, but they don't do any of that. It's all this, like, let Mahomes scramble around for 5 seconds, and if nobody breaks open right away, it's a crap show, and hopefully it's for the best. That's not coaching. That's hope. Like, you need to have a strategy, and if they don't have one against the Buccaneers, they're going to get their asses kicked because that team is going to come out pissed after losing today. Brady's got to be furious after the first 3 weeks. You've got a team in Tampa that might be getting a little healthier. Evans is going to be back. Julio Jones is going to be back. Like, offensively, you better execute in that game, or you're going to get your ass kicked. They need to figure out what they are and stick to it and do it. And if it doesn't go well for a drive, you still need to stick with it.
Yeah, another super chat from our guy Costco. Appreciate you. My disappointment is a lot of Chiefs fans post-game not congratulating the Colts. We got that from Matt Connor. So you got one person on this show. This is not the first nor the last head-scratcher game. Go Chiefs. Agree with you, man, as has been pointed out on the show. This happens to them every year. But the last 2 weeks, the offense has not looked good, and I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned about them because the schedule that they have upcoming is not favorable. And if they lost this game, they damn sure better figure it out before they go to Tampa, as Verderam put out, or God only knows what will happen to them when they play Buffalo, who, even though they lost today, still racked up quite a bit of yards. All right, I've got a question for you guys. Let's do another. One of these. Which, name one player for you who's the most responsible for this loss and tell me why. Let's start with our guy, Matt Connor.
Matt Amendola. And let me just bring up a point here. If the Chiefs knew early on that they weren't going to trust this guy to do what he apparently can't do, then why wouldn't you tell Mahomes and your entire offensive staff and philosophy, you guys have 4 downs to work with every time? I mean, like, just go all in. You guys have all 4 downs, and we're going all in with that mentality because we can't trust this kicker who someone signed and made us have to work with on the sideline. So, I'm blaming Amendola for taking up a roster spot, for taking up any hope, something. Yeah, that'd be my answer.
All right, Adam Best.
I'm going to go Orlando Brown. You can't make your contract sort of the story of the summer, wanting to be the highest paid tackle in the league and then get blown up by Yannick Ngakoue. You can't do that. He's not playing well enough for the money he wanted. There's no other way to put it. And either he's going to have to step up and improve during the course of the season, or we may have a situation at left tackle.
Arrowhead Addict member Jess Ferris says, Sky Moore, he fumbled a punt and had no business fielding. He had no business fielding, then almost did it a second time. And put us in a hole. Agree with you, Jess. All right, Sterling, who's your GOAT?
I was going to say the Arizona field for taking Butker from us, but since it's not a player, I guess I'll have to go with an actual player. It's between two guys, Mahomes and Chris Jones. I'm going to go with Mahomes, though, in this one. This is tough for me. But if you're getting paid $500 million, if you're known to be the best quarterback in the NFL and the best player in the NFL, you got to hit MVS in that streak. You got to play better. You got to find a way to get it done. It's not like Aaron Rodgers, for example, is playing with a great wide receiving corps there, and he hasn't for the majority of his career. He's at Devontae Adams, and that's basically it. But what he does is elevates the guys around him. He finds guys he trusts and makes it work. This is easier or earlier on in the season for Mahomes. He's not had a lot of time with Juju MVS. But you've worked a lot with McColl. Find what he does well and hit him. Like, you are a $500 million quarterback. You are the best player in the NFL. But he did not show it today. This has to be on Mahomes.
Yeah, it's rough, man. I mean, you take away that scramble from Juju Smith-Schuster, the pass to Juju Smith-Schuster, and Mahomes is sitting here with 209 yards throwing the ball in this game. His average looks a lot worse. Verderam, who you got?
Well, I can't give a coach, apparently, because it's about the player. So Mahomes. Mahomes wasn't the worst player on the field. Okay, far from it. But when you are that great of a player, you need to elevate your team to score more than 3 points in the second half of the game. I don't care that the Colts made a play here, a play there. Like, there were multiple throws he missed that were poor throws. And let's come on. And he would tell you that. Like, he missed some throws he should have made. You know, now, did Kelce drop a touchdown pass? Yeah, he did. You got to overcome that stuff. You're playing a team you should be beating by 2 touchdowns. Like, this is not crazy to sit there and say, come on, like Mahomes has to play better than that. And people will say, well, you know, he threw for 265 yards, whatever it was. He was not good in this game. Anybody who watched this game, he needs to elevate them in games like this. When you have a coach that is not particularly putting together a great game plan, when you have a kicker who you know can't kick worth a damn, like, yeah, you've got to convert third and ones and third and sevens and third and threes. Like you do. And, you know, we can talk about the offensive line all day, and I'm here for it. Okay. The offensive line not play well. Although I will say this, I actually thought the interior was fine. It was more the tackles in this game. This might surprise people. Mahomes was sacked one time. He was hit five times. Matt Ryan was hit 10 times and sacked five times. Like, I get it. It wasn't ideal, but it also wasn't like Mahomes was just being plastered to the ground every play. Like, he got hit five times. I mean, you got to overcome. Like, this is the NFL. It's not perfect. You got to overcome that sometimes. There were plenty of times Mahomes had time and he made a bad throw. That's reality. And when you are that great of a player, you need to be able to sometimes pull these games out of the fire. And he's done it a lot in his career. Okay. He's done it. He's proven it many times he can do it. Today he didn't. And I think of all the players, while he maybe wasn't the worst guy on the field, he was the one who played furthest below the expectations that everybody has of him.
Agreed. There's a lot of ways I could go with this one. There's a lot of players who did a lot of bad things. There's a lot of coaches who did a lot of bad things in this game. But when I think about it and I think who is the most responsible for this Chiefs loss, it comes down to one moment to me, and that is Chris Jones, friend of the show, running his mouth on a look, man. And he said it after the game. Credit to Chris Jones. He stood up there. He took the heat. He didn't, you know, run out of the locker room, go get on the bus. He stood there. I saw him answering questions in a couple of different places, actually. And he said, I got to do better. I got to know the situation. I'm a veteran. I'm supposed to be a leader. That was it, man. Like, the Chiefs almost certainly win the game at that point. There was enough time on the clock. The Colts probably punted away. The Chiefs get the ball back. They run out the clock. Mahomes scrambles around, gets the first downs they need. That is just, you've got to know the situation. You just made a huge play. They're driving on you. Your defense shows up big. You get off the field, and you can't help yourself. You got to run your mouth. You got to say something to Matt Ryan. And now your team loses the game. And you got to sit there on the bench and you got to watch it happen. For me, that kind of stuff is inexcusable. Like, I almost want Travis Kelce, but I'm like, you know what? You're out there. You're playing the game. It's not the easiest catch in the world. Back shoulder. You're in the air. You're in the back of the end zone. There's a defender between you and the ball. You know, you can't fault. It's hard to fault guys. Sometimes you just don't make the play. But something that happens after the play, after it's over, that's an unforced error, man. As Sterling Holmes would say, that's two scoops of ass.
I love people saying you can't show emotion. I'm with you. Like, it probably shouldn't be called, but don't put yourself in that position. Sure, the face mask on Mahomes where the flag was thrown and then picked up, yeah, that should be called. Doesn't mean that Chris Jones can then say whatever he wants. Don't even put yourself in that position. There's no reason for it. They're punting. Your play is speaking for itself. You're not playing well offensively. The game should be over. They're punting. Boom. You're 3-0. Move on. Whatever you have to say, it is not worth it. And somehow it woke Matt Ryan in that offense up. Whatever he said, obviously woke that offense up for the Colts because they were on fire after that. It's just, you cannot have that happen. You can't put yourself in that position if you are the best player on the defense. If you want to be a leader, you just can't have that happen.
Also, it should be said, we don't know what he said. Like, I'm not here to defend or criticize the call, but first of all, I agree with Sterling. Like, you know what, man? You put yourself in that position. I don't know what he said. He might have said something that he deserved it. Like, he didn't say what he said after the game. He's like, I don't remember what I said. Okay, fine. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But I don't know what he said. Maybe he said something that absolutely shouldn't have been called. Maybe he said something that absolutely should have been called. You don't know. And I'm not going to pretend I do know. So you know what? Here's what I do know. If he doesn't say anything, the Colts are punting the ball. That's it.
And we're talking about Nick Bolton because he got his second sack of the day. And, you know, right, is this breakout star that looks like Mike Singletary out there. And it's a completely different discussion. But it was one play. And I think what we're seeing here is that so many Chiefs didn't have their head in the game or didn't bring their A game or had, they just didn't look like they kind of played down to the level of their competition today is sort of how I felt about it. So we could name like 30 guys in this segment.
Yeah. But I'll say this about the rule. It is a bullshit rule, and I'm not making an excuse for the Chiefs. You got to know the rules. But NFL games should not be being decided on whether or not somebody's fucking feelings got hurt. Right. Like, I actually had this guy who tweeted me, you know, I was like, bad move by Chris Jones. And he's like, what's the big deal? He's like, if they don't like it, they can go play baseball. And I was like, do you know what doesn't happen in baseball? If you talk shit to somebody, they don't award the team, the other team, another out. They're like, oh, that guy just hurt your feelings. You get four outs this inning. That's what happens at the NFL. It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And games should not be decided in that way. Fine them. Come up with some other way to punish them. Throw them out of the game. Like, you want to throw them out of the game for doing something like that? Fine. But like, giving a team unearned yardage because somebody hurt their feelings, it's ridiculous.
I hear you, but you know what, man? I don't know what he said to him. And I agree with you, like, all the hurt feeling stuff. But you know what? That's the rules of the game. You know that is the rule. Like, I give him, I forget which one you guys said it, but it's true. Like, give him credit. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo is in fine form early. He just almost threw a pick and then got a ball batted down at the line. He's rolling early on. But I don't know which one you guys said it, but it's true. Like, look, I give Chris Jones a lot of credit for standing up after the game and talking. There are plenty of guys who wouldn't have done it. They would have just sat at their locker and turned their back and they would have talked to anybody. And he took accountability for it. Like, fine. He is a veteran. He's not a rookie. He knows better. Like, you can't do it. But to me, as bad as that play was and as critical as it was, it's one play. Mahomes had a litany of plays today that he'd want back, right? I mean, the coaching today, how many plays were you like, what are you doing? Why, like, Orlando Brown Jr., who, by the way, after three games so far, maybe should have taken that offer. I mean, it's just, look, like, you have to play better. Jones and Kelce each had one bad play, and they were huge plays. But I can get over that easier than I can a guy who has 15 bad plays. That, to me, is harder to swallow.
Well, look, there was some good, as we've mentioned, and unfortunately was erased in some of these moments by Chris Jones, but the defense. So I wanted to ask you guys, let's start with you, Matt Connor. How good can this defense be? I mean, because when we were sitting here preseason, we were like, you know, the Chiefs offense will probably be fine. A lot of veteran guys, defense, a lot of young guys might take a little time for it to come along. Well, we were wrong on that one. How good can these guys be?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at one of the NFL's 10 best units when they're healthy, right? Willie Gay is better than any linebacker on the field today in terms of being well-rounded. Although Nick Bolton is obviously surprising all of us with how good he's becoming and not just being sort of the one-trick pony coming into the league that people paint him out to be. You know, I think McDuffie is going to raise the ceiling of that secondary when he's healthy in a major way. You know, and I think Chris Jones is awesome despite what all you guys say. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, he doesn't deserve whatever. I'm not going to go back over that whole discussion, but I got shut out of that discussion and disagree fervently with all of you. So,
go ahead. No one's shutting you out.
No, that's
fine. We have a lot of mouths to feed on this panel.
We're not being passive aggressive, Matt. Come on, baby.
Yeah. What's your take? Let's go.
No, that's my middle name, but no, that's fine. I back to your question. I think this defense can be really exceptional, except certainly in the second and third levels. I think in this first level, I want to see – I love 10 and 5 on the Colts today, hits and sacks. I'd like to see it not just on the Colts. You know, I'd like to see this sort of performance. I mean, look, the Bucs have taken a lot of losses on their offensive front too, you know, in terms of Jensen. Like, I think like three or four guys are out or missing or in some way from last year, backups and starters. So, you know, we could see this again, but yeah, I love him. There's a lot of growth ahead with a lot of guys coming back.
Sterling, is this going to be a top 10 unit when McDuffie and Willie Gay Jr. get back on the field?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was someone who said this was going to take way longer than what we've seen so far. Jalen Watson has impressed me beyond anything I could have ever expected from him.
Yeah, every game.
Rashad Fenton has been a disappointment I thought Fitton's had a very decent start to his career, you know, average, slightly above average, obviously good for a sixth rounder. But if he's a starting cornerback, he's been serviceable. This season's been very, very poor for him. Whenever McDuffie comes back, that puts him to the bench, or at least in a slight rotational role for him with Watson, Legarius Sneed, and McDuffie. That's a very good corner group. Juan Thornhill and Justin Reed have been pretty solid. We haven't seen a ton of them, but every time we hear their name called, typically it's for a good thing. Linebacking core, I trust. And then defensive line's been a up and down mixed bag. Chris Jones obviously is a very good defensive tackle, no matter what we say about the penalty. Frank Clark had a sack today. If he can still bring some pressure occasionally to the game, that's a huge plus. And then Dunlap, honestly, I don't know what the number 8 on a defensive lineman, which makes him look faster, but he looks like he's still in shape at his age. He looks like he's making plays out there. And Carl Loftus is a week 1, game 1 ready rookie. I've been very enthused by how quickly this defense has grown so far. I know it's the fucking Colts, but still, that's an NFL team. That's a veteran quarterback. The receivers did a great job in the second half, at least getting open and making tough catches. Jonathan Taylor's known as one of the best, if not the best running back in the NFL. And they stopped him. This defense looks legit.
Adam Best?
It's going to come down to cornerback play. I think today we saw Rashad Fenton get picked on again a little bit, especially in the first half. Jalen Watson, who I've been impressed with, but he's still a seventh rounder. And Alec Pierce was kind of having his way with him a little bit, mossed him a few times. So I think what we have right now is we have kind of everyone is playing one spot above where they should be. And if McDuffie comes back and can really give us a solid CB1, then you have Sneed playing CB2. You have Watson, maybe a more natural CB3. And then Fenton is good depth. So it's going to come down to how good can Trent McDuffie be? How quickly can he come back? Can he be healthy? And can the other guys hang in there? I've been impressed with Sneed, though. I think Sneed is just all over the field, terrific blitzer, has an innate feel for the game. So I think it really comes down to the secondary. The safeties look good so far. Nothing special, but I think Reed and Thornhill have been, they certainly haven't been glaring weaknesses. There's probably been more good than bad there.
Ferdinand?
I think the Chiefs defense looks great. I mean, that hasn't been a problem. Yeah, I've seen some people say, like, well, you know, the front four has not been good. The front four is out-pressuring everybody else in the NFL by, like, 20-some-odd pressures. They have 10 sacks. They're on pace for, like, 58 sacks. What do you want from them? Like, and they played two very mobile quarterbacks today. When they didn't, they hit Ryan like it was a pinata all day long. I mean, they killed him. So,
followed twice.
I don't know what else you could ask for from the defense. They didn't even go up 260 yards today. I mean, they were great. They shut down Jonathan Taylor. Nobody's been able to run on him at all. You know, Herbert had an okay day against them. Murray did nothing. Ryan did nothing. I don't know what else you could possibly ask for. And they get McDuffie and Gay back. If they're healthy at that point, they're going to be pretty damn tough to beat defensively, because they got, I'll tell you, Bolton, I don't know if it'll be this year. Bolton might be an all-pro at some point in his career. Like, the guy is just all over the field. By the way, we haven't mentioned them because they lost, whatever. Darius Harris played really well today.
Yeah.
Everybody's so worried about Willie Gay going out. I'm not saying he's Willie Gay. He had 13 tackles. He played his ass off. He played a really, really strong game. I thought
he got burnt early. He did get burnt early.
On the play at the goal line.
Dude, that tackle for loss on JT, though.
He was awesome.
I thought he settled in, though, after getting burned.
Everybody was like, oh, we'll see Dunlap. Dunlap looks great. Say whatever you want. Frank Clark looked good today. He's played well. And I know he's got to prove it week after week after week. Fair enough. But he played well today. Jones, for his idiotic penalty, he played very well throughout the game. Carl Loftus didn't have a sack again, but again, he's played really well. And how many times did Jalen Watson get beat today? I don't even think it was once. So you've got to feel – look, that is the one silver lining coming out of this game. They are really good defensively. Now they got to figure it out on offense. The good news is you have Patrick Mahomes. Like, the bet is obvious if you think they'll be able to figure out offensively. So, you know, look, their defense is really good. It could be a top 5 to 10 unit in the NFL. It really could be. Now they need their offense to step it up. By the way, Denver is just giving it up as we speak. You guys actually, from the time I didn't talk to the time I talked again, then they went to commercial on Sunday Night Football. They came back. Denver went 3 and out, punted, and went to commercial. Okay, so Denver, I think, had the ball for about 8 seconds on their first drive. So things are going well for them.
Under the radar, sneaky good Chiefs defender this year, Colin Saunders. You saw it in the preseason. He shows up again today, 8 total tackles. That's huge when you're trying to stop Jonathan Taylor. 2 quarterback hits. Really starting to find his stride. I'm really excited for that guy.
And 1 rep at fullback.
And 1 rep at fullback. Did a pretty good job. Didn't score on that one, though. All right, look, I've got a little bit of hardware I need to give out here. Got a few awards. Got to give out. And boy, I got to tell you, I hate giving this award out when I have to give it to a Chiefs player. The Damian McIntosh Turnstile Award for blocking ineptness goes to Orlando Brown Jr. Sorry, man. Oof. After all that in the offseason, everything, you got to show up. You got to play better than that. Not a good performance from you. I still believe in you. Good young player, but tonight wasn't your night. Award number 2. Give me the envelope here. This one is a new one. Never had this one before. Hope we never have it again. The Lynn Elliott Award for horrendous kicking versus the Indianapolis Colts goes to Matt Amendola. Congratulations, Matt. I hope we never see you on the field for the Chiefs again. Good luck in the gym. You see, he's in shape, that guy.
Dude, his biceps.
Yeah, he's working out with Hockley. Maybe if he spent as much time.
Thomas Jones biceps, right? Those are Thomas Jones-esque.
Nobody's Tom Jones is like the Hulk. And then the last one, and this one really hurts me to give this one out. The Demetrius Harris Stonehands Award for dropping touchdown passes goes to Travis Kelce. I'm sorry, Trav. We needed that one, man. We needed that one. That'll be the last time you hear the words Demetrius Harris and Travis Kelce in the same sentence.
The one thing I will say for Travis Kelce, just to give the dude some credit, he tweeted out post-game, Casey, you deserve better out of me. Should have put the game away when I had the chance. Hats off to the Colts. They got us back to work ASAP. I know it's just words, and what matters is coming down with that ball. But the fact that a Hall of Famer is recognizing what went wrong, saying that's on me, when so many other aspects of that game went awry, and Travis Kelce, the one saying, you know what, we win that game if I make that catch. That's leadership right there. That's someone owning up. And we mentioned with Chris Jones, even with that penalty, Chris Jones coming out and saying, you know what, I can't have that happen. That's on me. That's what veteran leadership looks like. Those are actions. And frankly, that's what a good team, a championship caliber team does.
I agree, man. I mean, Chris Jones did it. Travis Kelce did it. I'm sure. I haven't seen Mahomes at the podium. I'm sure he did it. Those are your guys. They gotta set the tone for everybody else. They gotta let the Sky Moores know that, hey man, just, you know, own up. And yeah, but
what about the coaches? I mean, maybe we shouldn't be playing our rookies who are trying to make things happen and earn more playing time, returning kicks. It obviously wasn't working today. Just a thought.
You know what? I will actually say this though. Like, I was glad they went back to Sky Moore. You can't kill the kid's confidence. He returned the ball really well the first 2 weeks of the year. And by the way, he had a good return in the second half of the game. I know what you mean, but like,
just throw the ball to him, you know, just get him involved. That would
be great. That'd be great. But apparently that's never going to happen. So I that would be great. But you know, why use a guy you drafted with a top 55 pick on offense when you can throw the ball to the ground over and over and over? The bottom, by the way, the Broncos are down 7-0. The Niners just went down the field like Denver wasn't even on it. So
Nathaniel Hackett, baby.
Oh, beautiful. Best move the Chiefs made all offseason was letting him go to Denver. Look, you know what? All this being said, as bad as this was, if they win in Tampa next week, like, you move on and all's forgiven. If they lose that game, now you're 2-2 and you're fighting. The best thing that's happened to them is the division. Everybody lost today. The Bills lost today. I've seen people say, like, well, the Bills look great in their loss. That's nice. They lost. I mean, who cares? You know, like if the Chiefs looked great today and lost, I'd be walking around feeling better about it. Like, they lost. And now Buffalo's got to go play Baltimore. It's just not going to be an easy task in Baltimore. Look, go on the road and beat Tampa. Tampa's offense is a frigging disaster right now. Like, go out, hold them under 20 points, and the offense needs to figure it out. Look, the big, as you always say, Patrick, the big 30,000-foot view of this, they're fine. Like, where they sit, they're fine. They're first in their division. The only team that doesn't have a loss is Miami. Miami's going to lose some games. I'm not worried about that. Look, the bigger concern right now is this offense has to figure itself out. The special teams, when Butker comes back, that'll take care of itself. Like, they'll be fine kicking the ball. That'll go away. this offense needs to figure it out. But again, you start out with what is a very talented offensive line. Mahomes, Kelsey, like you should be able to figure this out, even if it takes a few weeks. So hopefully they win against Tampa. If they do and they're 3-1, everybody in the world would have taken it to start the year. But they got to win that game. They got to go out there and they got to find a way to win that game.
Excellent points. Look, all of you should be watching when this is over, watching Sunday Night Football, rooting really hard for the 49ers right now, because if they win and they beat Denver, essentially nothing changes for the Chiefs in their quest for the division. And in the AFC, so now they fell behind Miami. All right, well, we'll see how long Miami is able to continue playing at this level. Maybe they'll keep it up all year, and maybe they'll be the one seed. But we'll find out. Remember, it's a long season. Remember how the Chiefs started last year. They looked utterly miserable. I bet against them with Sterling Holmes and said I thought they were going to lose to Green Bay. They won, and I had to stone cold two beers on this podcast. There's a famous gif of it, the emojis. So we'll see. Hopefully I don't get myself into that situation again this year, or maybe for your sake, hopefully I do. All right, any closing thoughts? Let's leave. I have a request. Let's leave the Arrowhead Addict listeners with some hope as we walk away from this. Just like we all want to burn the tape. I know none of you guys are going to go and rewatch that one. Matt Connor, why don't you kick us off? Any hope for the listeners as we prepare to get out of here?
Man, I was thinking opposite there. I mean, yeah, you're right. The Chiefs were the better team. They committed endless gaffes. You replay this game, the Chiefs win 9 out of 10 times, you know, for sure. I get that. If there's a little negative side, I'll just say, if this is what we saw after 10 days of rest, we didn't talk about that aspect. And that's a little disconcerting to me that this was the response. Like, if you would have said this was a response on a short week, I'd say, oh yeah, I get it. All these mistakes, all these mental errors, all these whatever. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they respond emotionally coming out of this with that embarrassment, sort of like as they want to get rid of it.
All right. Let's kick it to Adam Best.
I think the AFC West being billed as this murderer's row and turning out to look pretty mediocre through 3 weeks. The Broncos look awful. The Raiders might even look worse. I think we could have finished ahead of those two teams with Chad Henne playing quarterback. And then the Chargers they're in emergency room right now. They are having one of these seasons that is kind of reminiscent of what happened to the Ravens last year. They're just falling apart. So this division is still ours to win, like it has been the 6 previous seasons. There are some good teams in the AFC, and Baltimore looks really good too. But when the Chiefs are at their best, they're as good as anybody. And I think they can go down to next week's on the road, right?
Yeah.
They can go down to Tampa and handle their business, and we'll forget about this game just like all the other bad games against the Colts in the past that we've – it's like a curse or something, you know?
It is like a curse. And to your point about the Chargers being a MASH unit, it's like that for them every year. Whoever put the curse on the Chiefs that they could never beat Indianapolis – put the same curse on the truck. Must have been Al Davis. If anybody
their
sold
steak bin,
the devil, it was that guy.
You know what I think it is, though? I think it's all that preseason hype.
Yeah.
You were talking about our offensive line, you know, us kind of having groupthink. The groupthink about the Chargers being the best team since the 2000 Rams just got a little out of control.
Yeah, it looks that way. Of course, though, Justin Herbert is broken in half. Verderam, any pleasant thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, look. So first of all, it starts with the throw I just saw Russell Wilson make, which was worse than anything Mahomes did all day. He had a 3rd and 2 and Albert O about as open as anybody could ever be 6 yards in front of him. And Wilson threw it straight into the ground. So the Broncos just punted because Mr. Unbelievably Limited with 2-3 and outs to start this game. Yeah, look, but in all seriousness, like, yes. I mean, the division's not that good. Denver stinks. The Raiders are not good. The Chargers, I think, are good if they're healthy, but as Adam just brought up, like, they're all hurt. And you look at them, and it's like it kind of just feels like the Chargers, doesn't it? Where you look at them, and you're like, yeah, they should be a lot better than they are. And by the way, this is a weird thing to say, and I don't want this to sound like I'm giving the Chiefs an out, because God knows I haven't over the last hour, and I'm not doing it now. That game against the Colts was flukish in this regard. the Chiefs couldn't have been a bigger crap show. I mean, just could not have been. And they still almost won the game. The Chargers got their asses kicked. Now, and people say, well, Jacksonville is good. First of all, we don't know if Jacksonville is good. Second of all, okay, Jacksonville is better than Indianapolis, maybe. Jacksonville is not like a bona fide contender here. And you're down 38-10 in your own building. I don't care who's hurt. That's an embarrassment. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, their defense is really good. Like Kansas City's defense is actually really good. And if it's going to be this good now, it should only get better later with all these young kids. So if you look, this could turn around very, very quickly if they can figure out some staples on their offense and get that in sync. And I'm saying like this could turn around. They're 2-1. Like the upside is, look, go beat Tampa and everybody's happy. You're 3-1, which anybody and their mother would have taken after the first 4 weeks. And you go play the Raiders, who at home, like, you should trounce. You know, of course, they got to do it, but they should. So I really feel like, look, it's an awful loss, and they deserve to be pounded on for this loss, and we just did it for an hour. But, like, in the totality of things, how worried am I that Mahomes isn't going to figure it out all year long? Not worried. How worried am I that these receivers are just going to stink? Not really worried. Like, Valdez Scantling's been a good player in his career, and Juju actually had 90 yards today. Like, not that terrified about it. I think they will figure this out. I don't know if it's coming next week. I don't know if it takes to the bye, but I think they will figure it out. I truly do. And when they do, with this defense and this division, I think they'll be just fine.
I want to give Sterling Holmes the last word here, so I'm going to go next. I'll just say this. One, we've got Patrick Mahomes. Two, the schedule. We all know the Chiefs had a tough schedule. Go ahead and look at the schedule now. Now that we've got a couple weeks into the season, look at the games after Buffalo. San Francisco with Jimmy G. Tennessee hasn't looked particularly good. Jacksonville looks better than they did. You got the Chargers again. The Bengals have not been great this season. Houston, Seattle, Denver twice, and Vegas. So you can see a situation here where the Chiefs are, you know, 4-3 or something like that, and they get on a run at the second half of the season. I think that's what we're going to happen, and I think it's going to come right at the time where the offense is starting to gel, where the defense is really getting good because the young guys are got the reps under their belt. So I'm excited for the future. I'm optimistic about this team as bad as they look today. All right, Sterling, have at it, brother.
As a Mizzou fan, I want so bad to just say burn everything to the ground, riot, start shit, drink pints of martinis like me. Please drink responsibly. No, I'm not that worried. Nick Bolton looked incredible. This defense looks legit. If they gel this early, I trust Mahomes and the superstars to turn it around. Travis Kelce, I don't expect him to beat Demetrius Harris. Harrison Bucker is worth 7 points in this game. It is what it is. This happens every single year. The Chiefs lose a game or two where you go, why the fuck did they lose this game? It just happens. They'll be fine. Even if they're 11-6, which is what I said, that's a playoff team. That's a playoff team. That might be second best, third best in the AFC at this point. It's fine. Let's relax. R-E-L-A-X. Take a step back. Drink a KC beer. Throw some darts. Root for the Niners. Go Chiefs.
I love it, man. Very well put. Listen, one more time. If you want to hang out with us this week, we're going to be in the Discord. We're going to be in the Discord tonight for the rest of Sunday Night Football, hanging out. Consider becoming a member. We're not just doing a Chiefs podcast here. We're building a Chiefs community. It's in the comments on Arrowhead Addict. It's in the private members only Discord for the podcast. It's on YouTube. We'd love to get to know more of you, hang out with you in the Discord. So check that out. We've got merch. It's all there. The links are in the description. But please make sure you're reading Arrowhead Addict every day, where Matt Connor does an absolutely tremendous job. Our first newsletter from Adam Best for members only will be coming out this week. He'll also be doing posts on the site as well. I'm very excited to see his name there on the site once again. All right, that's all the business. We're brought to you by Kansas City Beer. Make sure you give him a shout out on Twitter at KC Beer Co. Deep breath, everyone. We're 2-1. We're in first place no matter what happens tonight. We'll see you next week. And until then, as always, go Chiefs.
When
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.